you.
Our reading this morning is from John 1, starting at verse 1, which is on page 1063 in the church Bibles. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Anyone there? Let's try a different headset. Hello.
Hello. Yay. Hey, there we go. Good morning, everyone. There we go. I didn't think we were going to go there, but here we are. That's good. We've just read, we've seen the Christmas story kind of acted out for us a little bit, and we've heard some words from God's Word. Let me pray for us, now that you can hear me, and then we'll have a think about the Christmas story together. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for Christmas. And Lord, as we think about that now for a few minutes, please, would you help us? Would you help us to see how awesome Jesus is? And we pray this, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we start, I thought we would just kind of get into the Christmas mood a little bit by playing a game. Everyone up for a game?
Yeah.
Yeah? A few of you? Nope. Yeah, a few of you? Brilliant. This is the game to start with. I'm going to put some a Christmas film on the screen that's kind of covered up, and I just want you to shout out what you think it is, okay? So can we have the first one on the screen? Hey, does anyone know what this film is, this Christmas film? A few people got their hands up. Go on, do you know what it is? Yeah. The Polar Express. Who likes the Polar Express film? A few of you. Brilliant. Right, next one. Oh, who knows what this film is? Yeah, Sophie? The movie with the snowman. Yeah, the snowman. Brilliant. Next one. Oh, this is one of my favorites. Does anyone know what this film is? Can you see that? Can you see that? Can you shout it out if you know it? The Nativity. The Nativity with Mr. Poppy. That's brilliant. And last one. Does anyone know what this film is? Anyone know what this film is? This is one of my faves as well. I quite like a lot of the Christmas films, to be honest. If you know it, shout it out. Arthur Christmas. Yeah, one person's seen that film. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Arthur Christmas then, because loads of the Christmas films, they all follow the same pattern. So let me talk about Arthur Christmas for a minute. So in lots of these films, the heroes are faced with obstacles and difficulties, but ultimately they cannot be stopped. Whatever blocks their path, they overcome it. So in Arthur Christmas, he's the youngest son of Santa, and his mission is to deliver a missing present to a girl called Gwen who lives in Cornwall. Now, on his mission, there's loads of obstacles, okay? You've got his brother who says, look, we don't need to do it. Just stop. We don't need to do it. But he overcomes that. Lions get in the way as well, and he overcomes them. And time is running out. But to spoil the film that only one of you have seen, he delivers it. He delivers this present. And he saves Christmas. Now, I highlight this theme because the idea of overcoming isn't just at the heart of many Christmas films. The idea of overcoming is at the heart of the Christmas story. The Christmas story is all about Jesus' mission to save the world, and nothing can stop him. See, just listen again. It's going to be on the screen as well, but listen again to that last verse that Lydia read for us. It says this, the light, that's Jesus, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, boys and girls, in the Bible, darkness is a picture of sin and death and the devil. And not even these things can stop Jesus from saving his people. There's no person, no thing, no obstacle that can overcome Jesus. And this morning, I want to put it like this for us. Okay, this is the first thing we're going to see. We're going to see this. Jesus is the unstoppable light. You know this, you were singing about the light a minute ago. Can we do that together? Okay, one, two, three. Jesus is the unstoppable light. Very good. We're going to do that lots of times this morning because that is the big thing. We're not going to, this is the one point we're going to learn this morning and really think about together. Jesus is the unstoppable light. Now, to help us remember this truth, I need a volunteer with a bit of puff. Someone that thinks they can blow out my incredible candle that I don't think anyone could blow out. But just before I choose someone, I just need to, a couple of health and safety precautions. Right, let's get my bucket of water in case this goes wrong. Let's put that there for a moment. Oh, and let me just get my candle, get my lighter. Fantastic. Right, here we go. Here we go. Oh, thought I was going to work this one in. Here we go. Right, here we go. Let's just leave it there for a second. Right, who wants to have a go at blowing my candle out? Let's have... yeah, do you want to come up? Come on, have a blow, go at blowing my candle out. There you go. A bit more. Oh, do you think it's going out? One more time. Ah, oh, that's not going to go out. I'll tell you what, there's going to be more opportunities in a minute to have a go. Let me just put this down here for a second. Because... I've got the bucket of water that's ready for you. Because what we're going to see this morning is that Jesus is like this candle. Jesus is unsnuffable. Jesus is unextinguishable. Jesus is untamable. Jesus is unstoppable. Can we say this together? One, two, three. Jesus is the unstoppable light. Now, to help us think about that, we're not just going to stare at this candle this morning. To help us see this truth and to see why Jesus is such good news, we're going to go on a journey. Okay? Everyone up for a bit of a journey this morning? Yeah? Now, our first stop, we're going to go to the Christmas story, obviously, because it's Christmas. But we're not going to stop there. We are going to go to a couple other places. We're going to go to the Easter story, and we're also going to go to today. And at each stop, we're going to think about how Jesus is the unstoppable light that not even darkness can overcome. So you ready to go on a journey? Let's get our boots on. Can you get your boots on? Get your boots on. Can you pack your bags? Pack your bags. Ready? A couple of stretches just to make sure we're not going to pull a muscle on the way. Brilliant. Right. Take a seat. First stop, the Christmas story. And because it's Christmas, we're going to spend most of our time here. Now, we've already had the story kind of shown for us. But just think about the Christmas story for a minute. Because in the Christmas story, there's lots of things that Jesus had to overcome, lots of difficulties that Jesus had to overcome, even as a baby. So just think for a moment, where was Jesus born? Go on, shout out, where was Jesus born?
Stable!
Thank you, that was good reaction. Jesus was born in a stable. Jesus, though he was a king, wasn't born in a palace, wasn't born in a hospital with loads of medical people around to help. Jesus was born in a stable. Now, who can think of a character in the nativity story who didn't like the idea of a new king being born? Can you shout it after three? One, two, three.
Herod!
Any Herods in the house? Yeah, Herod's not really, people don't tend to come. But the reason why is because what did Herod try to do to Jesus? Go on, what did Herod try to do?
He said Herod too, but
maybe he has to be. Yeah, he wanted to kill Jesus. So when Herod heard of a newborn king in Bethlehem, we're told that he was so angry that every child two or under was ordered to be killed. How wicked is that? And now the Bible's word for this kind of wickedness is sin. And sin is saying this. If I can put it up. Sin is saying this to God. It's saying, shove off, God. I'm in charge. No to you being king. Can we have a go at doing that together? One, two, three. Shove off, God. I'm in charge, no to you being king. And isn't that exactly what Herod tried to do? He didn't want this other king to be there. He wanted to get rid of that king because he was the only king. Now, I know we don't have any Herods, but But does anyone want to be a Herod and come and try and blow my candle out? Come on, Tobias, you can do it because you kind of dressed as a king. We won't boo you, though, don't worry. You going to come and try and blow the candle out? Big puff? No. Go and blow it. Go and blow it. No. Don't ruin this for me. Come and blow it out. Ah, go and sit down. See, Herod couldn't snuff out Jesus. Why couldn't he do it? Because, 1, 2, 3, Jesus is the unstoppable light. See, an angel of God warned Joseph and Mary to escape to Egypt. Jesus was safe. King Herod couldn't overcome Jesus. He couldn't get rid of this king. Now, you might not like this, but the Bible says that actually we're a lot like Herod. Do you know that? Because we quite like to do things our own way as well. We like to think that we're kings and queens of our own lives, and we often ignore Jesus' right to tell us how to live. And because of that, the Bible says that we're in trouble with God. That's why. I wonder if you noticed when we had the story acted out for us so wonderfully earlier, I wonder if you noticed that there was lots of fear. How often did we hear that people were terrified when the angels appeared? So angels and shepherds, stand up for me for a moment. I'm going to do a bit more acting. If you want to pretend to be a shepherd or angel at this point, you can do. You can stand up as well. But just think of this story, okay? So we're going to hear these words from Luke 2 again. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. So angels, maybe spread your wings a little bit. Let your glory shine, okay? Now shepherds, get ready for your acting. An angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and the shepherds were terrified. Can I have a scared face, shepherds? Brilliant, although you're still smiling. And maybe get a bit lower, shepherds, get a bit lower to the ground. Because I think that's what we would have done. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. Do you see it? When the angels appeared, they were full of the light of God's goodness and glory. And the shepherds were afraid because they knew they were sinners. They had lived life saying this. Can we do this together? 1, 2, 3. Shove off, God. I'm in charge. No to you being king. Now sit down for a moment. See, that would be our response as well. Let me just think of a today example of this. Last week, we put our Christmas tree up in our house. Anyone else got their Christmas tree up? Who's got their Christmas tree up? Quite a few of you. Now, I want you to imagine that in your house, there is a rule. You know, you've decorated a Christmas tree, you've got the baubles, you've got tinsel, and you've got chocolates. Now, imagine for a moment, in your house, there is a rule that says you cannot eat the chocolates off the tree until Christmas Day. That'd be quite hard. A few of you are like, yeah, that is the rule. That is the case. But imagine one day, you're alone with the tree, just me and the tree. Oh. There's no one else around. Oh, this thing's nice. Now, I know what the rule is, but I'm feeling a bit peckish, and no one else can see. And what you do is you unwrap it really quickly. I'm not actually going to eat it now because I won't be able to talk. But you eat it, and just as you take a really big bite into it, you turn around, and who should be there but mum, dad, or someone at home, and they see you doing it. And you've got chocolate in your mouth, chocolate around your lips, foil in your fingers, and you look up. You can't run, you can't hide, you've been caught doing the wrong thing, you've been caught in your sin. Now, in that moment, how would you feel? How would you feel in that moment? Yeah, how would you feel? You'd feel a bit sad, yeah? Anything else, yeah? You'd feel disappointed in yourself. Yeah, I think you'd feel a bit guilty, wouldn't you? Maybe a bit scared because you know that you're going to be in trouble. Now take that feeling, okay, in that moment, times it by 1,000. That's how the shepherds felt. The glory of the Lord shone around them, all his goodness. And they were terrified because they were sinners. They're fearful because the light, they stand in the light, even though they're in the darkness of their sin. And we're the same. If an angel appeared to us right now, we would all want to hide because we're sinners, because we've lived a life saying this, 1, 2, 3, shove off, God, I'm in charge, no to you being king. But this is why the Christmas story is so wonderful, because we're learning, can we say this together? Jesus is the unstoppable light. You see, not only did the sin of Herod not overcome Jesus, even sin itself didn't stop Jesus. We read in the Bible that Jesus, he grew up in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man. He was perfectly obedient to his mum and dad and also to his Father in heaven. Where we sin all the time and grab for the chocolates that we're not allowed, as it were, Jesus was perfect. Jesus is the unstoppable light who overcame the darkness of sin. Now, you're listening really, really well. That's stop one, and that was the longest stop, okay, thinking about the Christmas story. We've seen that Jesus is the unstoppable light who overcame the darkness of sin. But now we've got to move on to stop two, because we have to think about Easter. Because Jesus didn't stay a baby in a manger. He came to save us from our sins, and he grew up. And when Jesus was older, he did some amazing things. Can anyone tell me some of the amazing things that Jesus did when he got a bit older? Can you, Albert? What did Jesus do? Can you think of any miracle? Yeah, he died on the cross. Yeah, come think about that in a moment. Yeah, he taught. Yeah, fantastic. He taught. And when Jesus spoke, people were hung on his every word because the things he said, he taught with authority. Yes, anything else he did? He did miracles. He fed 5,000 people. He opened the eyes of the blind. He raised the dead to life. He walked on water. He did some amazing things. And because Jesus is so incredible, there were many people who felt threatened by him because he got this attention because of who he was. And just like we saw in the Christmas story, just like Herod wanted to get rid of Jesus, many people in Jesus' day did as well. As he grew up, a load of the religious leaders said, we don't want this Jesus. They said, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to you being king. And ultimately, they killed Jesus. At Easter time, we remember, don't we, that Jesus died on a cross. He was nailed to a cross. But do you know what happened? When Jesus died on the cross, do you know what happened to the sky? Does anyone know what happened to the sky? Yeah, Elena?
There was darkness.
Darkness covered the land. As Jesus was on the cross, the land was covered in darkness for 3 hours between noon and 3 o'clock, and then he died. Now, surely this time, the darkness had won. Surely the darkness of death had overcome Jesus, like trying to blow this candle out. But no. Because wonderfully, the Bible says 3 days after his death, Jesus rose to life in glorious light, just as he said he would. Let's get a picture of that. I think it's going to appear on the screen as well. 3 days later, he rose again. Not even the darkness of death could overcome Jesus. Now, amazingly, hundreds of years before Easter, there was a prophet called Isaiah who wrote about Jesus' death and resurrection. You can read it in Isaiah 53. Would anyone like to come be a prophet for a minute? Come, William, do you want to come be a prophet? Because listen to what Isaiah wrote. You have to open it up and have a look inside. Be careful with it, it's very ancient. That's it, pull the string. That's it. We've got the mic. Ready? What does it say?
After he has suffered, he will see the light of life.
Fantastic. Go and grab a seat. Let's give him a round of applause. Thank you, William. So Isaiah, hundreds of years before, looking forward to Jesus dying on a cross and rising again, said, after he had suffered on the cross, after he'd suffered, he will see the light of life. Isn't that incredible? After Jesus suffered on the cross, he would rise again. Not even death could snuff out Jesus. Not even death could overcome him. And that is amazing news, isn't it? Boys and girls, adults, think, you know, Christmas time can be a sad time of year, can't it? When perhaps we miss friends and family who are no longer with us. But Jesus died on a cross to take the punishment of our sin so that we can have the hope of eternal life. For all those following Jesus, the fear of death is removed. We no longer need to be terrified of God because there is forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? What are we learning? Can we say this together? 1, 2, 3. Jesus is the unstoppable light. We're on a journey. We've been to Christmas, and we've seen that Jesus is the unstoppable light who overcame the darkness of sin. Stop two, Easter time. We saw that Jesus is the unstoppable light who overcame the darkness of death. Stop three, it's today. We're here, we've arrived today. You see, it'd be really easy, wouldn't it? You know, we come to church around Christmas time, we look back, we go, oh, isn't that really nice? Or, you know, the Christmas story isn't really wonderful. And we can think, well, let's just leave it over there. But no, because Jesus, he rose again, he's ascended into heaven, and he continues to be at work even today, because Jesus is the unstoppable light. So the Bible says that Jesus is in heaven, he continues his mission, and he does that through the church. That's what this picture is. It's made up of all sorts of people, because that's what the church is. It's not a building, it's the people. Now, does anyone have a guess? I need a really big number here. How many, what we're going to do is, lots of people have tried to stop Jesus and his church. And here's the question. Does anyone have a guess as to how many people, roughly last year, told people to stop following Jesus? Anyone have a guess at the number of people that did that?
1,000?
Yeah, higher than 1,000, Eleanor?
200 million.
Higher than that?
3 billion.
Not as many as that. Across our world, last year, more than 360 million followers of Jesus suffered high levels of persecution or discrimination for their faith. What that means is, boys and girls, that 360 million people suffered in some way for following Jesus. Maybe they were put in prison, or maybe they were kicked out of their family because they followed Jesus. But even though that's true, Jesus' church is still growing. Did you know that Christianity accounts for 2.382 billion people in the world? That's closer to that number you said, William. That's 31% of the world's population. In the summer, I went to an event in London where nearly 1,000 people said, I want to follow Jesus. In Egypt last week, there was an event where about 8,000 people said, I want to follow Jesus. In Enfield Town the other week, I met a lady and she said, What hope do you have following Jesus? I want to know more about that. Do you see, Jesus is still at work today. He's not sleeping. Jesus is the unstoppable light who continues to grow his church. Can we say this together? 1, 2, 3. Jesus is the unstoppable light. So let's recap our journey. Stop one, Christmas. And we saw that Jesus is the unstoppable light who overcame the darkness of sin. Easter. Jesus is the unstoppable light who overcame the darkness of death. Stop three today. Jesus is the unstoppable light who continues to grow his church even in the face of lots of opposition. Now we're almost done, and you've listened really, really well. But we can't end just with thinking about that. Because if this is true, well, we need to ask the question, well, so what? How should we respond to the fact that Jesus is the unstoppable light? Well, later in John's Gospel, it should appear on the screen, later in John's Gospel, Jesus says this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In short, Jesus says we should follow him. This is the last one. So we're going to go, Jesus is the unstoppable light, so follow him. Could we do that all together? 1, 2, 3. Jesus is the unstoppable light, so follow him. We should come out of the darkness of sin and the fear of death and follow him in the light. Following Jesus means knowing him with us now, when life is tough and when we feel the darkness of our world. Following Jesus means knowing the certain hope of a forever life with Jesus. And today, if you're following Jesus, let me encourage you to keep following him. Will you keep trusting him? If today you're not yet following the Lord Jesus, well, will you? Will you stop saying, shove off, I'm in charge, no to your rule, and say, Jesus, I will follow you? Or will, perhaps if you're here and you haven't explored the Christian faith, well, will you this Christmas? Will you pick up a gospel? We've got plenty to give out. A gospel, read the accounts of Jesus and his life as you head out today. This Christmas, let me urge you not to ignore Jesus, because he is the unstoppable light. Jesus is like this candle. It's unsnuffable. unextinguishable, untamable, unstoppable. So can we say what we've learned one more time together and then I'll pray for us. Ready? Nice and loud, okay? Really loud. So all the people in the park hear what we've learned this morning. Ready? One, two, three. Jesus is the unstoppable light. So follow him. Fantastic. You listen brilliantly. Let me pray for us. Why don't you put your hands together? Close your eyes if that helps you to concentrate. And let me pray for us. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for Christmas, and especially for Jesus, the unstoppable light. Thank you that not even sin or death could stop him. Thank you that in Jesus we can be friends with you again. Thank you that in Jesus we can know you with us now, even in the darkness. Please forgive us our sins and help us to follow Jesus, the light of the world. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.